Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and, you know, like usual, I am joined by James Murphy. James, say hello.
Hello, folks. Happy SEC tournament week, men's tournament week, I should say.
Yeah. So James and I both write for the Daily Journal. You can see all of our coverage at djournal.com and follow us on social at djournalsports. And then you can follow me on Twitter at bfarrell727 and James at jsmurphymedia. James, just like in general, how are you?
Pretty good. I'm really excited to get into what should be yet another exciting week on the hardwood.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I am still sort of feeling some of the effects of daylight savings time. It's really great in the fall when it's like, oh, I get an extra hour of sleep. And then in the spring, when the hour forward kicks in, it really sucks.
It's true. It's like, it's kind of one of those give and take things. You know, you talk about in the fall, you do get an hour of sleep, but there's not as much sun. And this time of year, you get more sun, but you lose that hour of sleep for a day. So I guess it's really depending on what people value more. I've also heard theories about where it came from. One that I kind of went off of was that apparently daylight savings comes from farmers needing that and it having something to do with the harvest. Another one I heard recently is that it has something to do with electricity and they created it to save electricity because when it was first created, it was very scarce. So it was, I don't know. One of those has to win out, I guess.
So you're saying it's big electricity's fault?
Either that or farmers. Take that information for what you will. You can draw your own opinions from it.
I mean, big farm.
Big farm. Ha!
Sorry,
yes.
that was terrible. But it is very much like the me sowing versus me reaping tweet. So,
yeah, that's a good analogy.
Anyway, especially if it has something to do with farmers.
Very true. Yeah.
It's Monday. It's not only Monday, it's the Monday after, you know, the time change. So forgive us this morning. Lots of stuff going on. First, I should mention that I covered Ole Miss's women's basketball team's win over Florida in the SEC tournament from home. It was just kind of funny because I didn't know who they were playing before taking on the assignment. And then it's like, whoops. The old alma mater is there, so. But no, it's no problem. I just thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. But it was a pretty good game. It was pretty close all the way through. Ole Miss trailed for like most of the game, but they found their groove in the fourth quarter. It's a big night for Marquisha Davis, who had 33 points in that win over Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Though Ole Miss ended up losing to LSU the next day, setting up that interesting day yesterday with South Carolina and LSU. Mm-hmm. We'll just say that.
Yep.
Marquisha Davis ended the weekend with 56 points in two games.
Really impressive stuff, especially, you know, that time of year you need to be able to get a lot out of your stars. And Ole Miss, even though they lost that last one to obviously a really good LSU team, was able to do that.
Yeah, it's been an interesting season for them, and kind of heading into the tournament for them, I was looking at Charlie Cream's bracketology, and he has Ole Miss as a 7 seed and State as an 11 play-in seed. So I guess we'll just have to see how that breaks out.
Yeah, it'll all largely depend on the draw, and regardless, it'll be interesting to see how each team handles it.
But anyway, this is a not so subtle plug. You can find my coverage of that game at djournal.com, as with pretty much all of our Ole Miss and Mississippi State coverage and all that. So, shameless plugs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the SEC tournament, it's sort of a really easy situation to break down because Ole Miss basically just has to win. That is the only option left for them at this point.
Yeah.
And for State, they really just need to win one game.
They do. Neither team did themselves a ton of favors recently to secure any spots. Ole Miss losing 8 of their last 10 the first couple of losses were to really good teams, if not teams that would be in March, but the losses to Georgia and Texas A&M were absolute killers. Like, those were the ones that if you're in that tight of a bubble position that you have to have, and they didn't have either of them, and that put them in really desperation mode. And State losing four straight losses, and again, as great as the quality was, they went into a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, they were about 8 or 9 seed, and now that LSU game is a must win.
Yeah, so for Ole Miss, they are 2-8 in their last 10, and both of those wins are against Mizzou, who is winless in conference play. So that's not good.
No, and you know, if you're a fan, obviously, if you're a fan of the men's basketball team, there's a couple ways to look at it. One being, well, we got to 20 wins for the first time in pretty much half a decade, and you know, we're happy to be in this spot. But even then, I think with where the bar was set about a month ago with this team, with what they had accomplished up to that point, I think a lot of Ole Miss fans still expected a lot more from them, at least at that point in the season. Whereas State, once again, it's just one of those things where the right Mississippi State needs to show up. And if it does, they can compete with anybody. If not, then it's much less of a certainty.
Yeah, so rather than ping-ponging between the two schools back and forth, which one would you like to talk about first?
We can start with Ole Miss.
Okay, all right, sounds good. So yeah, pretty much at this point, their only option is to win the SEC tournament, which is most likely not happening. Like, for instance, I was checking the projection on KenPom, and he has Ole Miss with a 36% chance to beat A&M. That's just to get further in the tournament.
Right.
And I was looking at Bart Torvik heading into the SEC tournament. The odds to make the tournament, at least on that site, they have State at 52.7% and Ole Miss at 0.4%. So, the odds do not look good.
I do think they have a shot to beat Texas A&M. It's a team they've beaten before on the road, and a team that I think, again, if they are on their end game, they can get. I don't know how they beat Kentucky. I think Kentucky's too good. They can be a little bit up and down themselves, but I'm still not sure how Ole Miss is able to counter their offensive prowess. I know they have their own, but best case scenario, you get into a shootout with them and it stays close late.
Well, also, you mentioned the win on the road at College Station, but Ole Miss is coming off getting the brakes beaten off them by A&M at home on Senior Day this past weekend.
Very true. And Texas A&M probably not totally safe heading in, so they, too, can't just allow Ole Miss to beat them.
So I play a lot of Football Manager, which is it's made outside of the States, so it's a soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that can happen in that game is if you lose a game so badly, you'll see like a fake article about how the players reimburse the fans for tickets.
Yeah.
Because it's so bad.
Really?
And so it was funny to me to see Chris Beard offering like reimbursements for the folks who came out to that Ole Miss Texas A&M game. So it's not the best way to close out the regular season.
No, and again, obviously a lot's been accomplished, but with where the bar was a month ago and for them to be where they're at now, fans have got to feel pretty disappointed.
And plus, you know, with these conference tournaments and, you know, it's a little different for, you know, the smaller conferences where it's just like, okay, who cares about, you know, the conference play, right? Like, you know, we can go out and, you know, still make the tournament because the only thing that matters in the end is the conference tournament, right? The SEC, that's probably not going to happen. So you kind of wonder where the headspace is, because it sort of just seems like everybody's just hitting the sim till the end of the season button.
Right. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Chris Beard handles that, getting them ready for this. This will be his first SEC tournament with Ole Miss. And as you said, there's no room for error. They would have to win the whole thing in order to get an automatic qualifier. Maybe if certain things break their way and there's not a ton of bid stealers, maybe they can make the final and that would be enough. But even then, it's going to be interesting to see how he gets them prepared for this.
Well, I was there for the loss to South Carolina like a couple of weeks ago. And just watching that, I was just like, oh, this is over. Like, this is not happening. This is the end of the road.
So it just kind of felt like they ran out of gas in that game?
I wouldn't say it's just so... It was less of that and just more of a like, oh, like they are who we thought they were. Situation. It's just like, yeah, they're fine, but not a tournament team.
Right.
But it has been interesting to watch them go from like consensus tournament team in like late January / early February to... out of it completely with virtually no shot heading into the tournament.
Yeah, and I know we talked a lot about how they were, if I'm correct, the last undefeated team left in college basketball, but a lot of the talk was also centered around their schedule and how they struggled against even some of the teams that they penciled in to be cupcakes. Hello, Detroit Mercy. And because of things like that, there was a lot of talk of, oh, well, maybe their schedule's just soft, and they proved that wrong for a little bit. They did prove that wrong, but I think over the past couple of months, I think that schedule started to get to them quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at wins over, like, you know, like a big win at home over Florida where they put up over 100 points, or, you know, kind of that, you know, three-game stretch with Arkansas, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, just like, you know, right, you know, back-to-back-to-back, and you think, okay, well, you know, maybe they got it this year.
Right.
And it's just like everything has just fallen apart over the last month.
Right. And it really spoke volumes when even the wins that people looked at as being the easy wins, they didn't get. Like the win at Georgia. Like I should say the win they didn't get at Georgia, followed by losing at home to Texas A&M.
Yeah, right. And like I said, the South Carolina loss at home, where it was sort of like your back's against the wall, like this is probably your last shot at, you know, trying to keep up some kind of resume, and it just didn't work out for them that way.
It did not, and it's good. And regardless of how this SEC tournament run ends, maybe they take an NIT bid, or maybe they just go straight into the off season. I am curious to see how Chris Beard, assuming he stays next year, would handle the 2024-25 season, where he could see if he could try and build off of this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, I mean, guys like Morrell and Flanagan are seniors in Brakefield, so you know, we'll see how that breaks out. But, you know, college basketball is sort of interesting from a roster building standpoint, because it's, you know, you only have so few spots. You know, it's not like trying to overhaul an 80-man roster or whatever in football, right?
Right. And in college, you do want to try to get more of a sustainable recruiting pipeline going. We have two coming in, one which stands out is John Bull, the center from St. Louis, and Eduardo, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, Klafke from Mexico City. So you want to try and get more of an underclass pipeline going. John Bull is a good place to start, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he handles that.
Yeah, certainly getting a blue chip prospect, especially after flipping him from another conference foe. It's never a bad thing.
No, definitely not.
But yes, like you mentioned, this is still their first 20-win season since 2018-19, so Kermit Davis' first season. But it'll be interesting to see how people will kind of feel about it, because nobody likes a bad ending.
Nobody does, no. But you did show enough this season to prove that you're going in a very positive direction in terms of this program, and the foundation is there to possibly go further.
And look, nobody gave Georgia a shot in 2008 in the SEC tournament either. So
very true.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah. Anything they call it March Madness for a reason.
I was about to say, you know what month it is. You never count anything out. But yeah, it doesn't look great.
No.
Do you want to flip over to State for a bit here?
Sure. As we said earlier, they didn't do themselves a ton of favors with how they've played in the last couple of weeks either. Again, they too faced a bit of a tough schedule down the stretch, but some of the games they either had to have or were very close to having, they didn't. At Texas A&M, and they too lost a tough one at home to South Carolina in overtime to wrap up the regular season. I think that was one of those games where if they won that, there's no conversation about whether or not they're in. It's just a matter of, where are they booking the flights? But right now, it's looking a lot more uncertain. They go into today, in terms of Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology, they are currently among the last four byes. So it is far from a certainty whether or not they are able to make something happen. And I do like their draw for the most part. I think that they have shown an ability to at least hang with really everybody on that side of the bracket, even Tennessee. Obviously, we know about the home wins at Tennessee and Auburn. But to me, it's really a matter of which Mississippi State shows up, because if the good Mississippi State shows up, they could probably beat anybody, especially if their bigs get going, if they get enough out of the rest of the roster. And if the wrong Mississippi State shows up, they could be one and done in the tournament.
Yeah, State's sort of been a fascinating team this year, because I remember, like in January, sitting down here and being like, this could get bad real fast.
And it didn't get bad, but now they are in a position where they'd like to feel a lot more comfortable than they do. I think that that's going to involve, I think the biggest thing for me is, well, pun intended, the bigs. Tolu Smith suffered some kind of injury either before a game or in practice, and he's been able to play, but it's been affecting him a little bit, and you can see that he's not quite 100%. I think he and Jimmy Bell Jr., when Mississippi State has been good, they've been able to set the tone, especially offensively. But if he's not going and if Jimmy Bell's not going, that could be a problem.
Yeah, so, kind of looking at, like February was just kind of an incredible month for State. They had the blowout loss to Alabama to start the month, but they rattled off five straight wins after that. Maybe the strength of schedule during that run is not super impressive, but that's what good teams do, is they just take care of the opponents that are in front of them. So kind of, and then they also kind of capped off the month with a close loss to Kentucky, though they're not necessarily going into the SEC tournament with a ton of momentum, given the 4-game losing streak. So what kind of flipped the switch a little bit in February, and where have they kind of come up short lately?
Like, why have they kind of come up short in those things? Well, it's another one of those things where, in some of their biggest wins, they've been able to get a lot out of the bench. That was Josh Hubbard for a little bit when he wasn't starting. Keyshawn Murphy has cooled off a little bit since coming back from injury, and I think that hampers their depth because, as I've said time and time again, he's got great versatility and he's a tough matchup for anybody, whether he's inside or outside. But just being able to finish, and just a little bit of inconsistency, because there are times when, they go on really great runs followed by runs that completely cancel out those great runs. They'll have instances where they play great defense, but the offense can't keep up. And there have been games like in South Carolina where the offense was great, but the defense couldn't keep up. So it's really a matter of putting the pieces together and making sure they click at the same time. And in a lot of these games, they haven't really been able to do that. Now, not a ton of shame in losing, in three of those four losses being to top 20 teams, to be more specific. But, it is frustrating because Mississippi State fans, they've seen what this team can do when everything's clicking. And during this streak, not everything has been clicking enough.
Yeah, so it is sort of an interesting situation for State, because you feel like they're probably in. A loss would make things really complicated. But as it stands right now, like Bracket Matrix, for example, which just kind of takes a bunch of brackets and aggregates them, has stayed as like a 10 seed, like pretty much like a, I think like a consensus tournament team, but it's still kind of like, there's kind of flirting with the edge of the bubble there.
Right. It could be one of those things where a loss could be the difference between going straight to the round of 64 or having to go to Dayton to get into the round of 64. And obviously U.S. State fans, they do not want to have to go to Dayton.
But I think in terms of team strength, I feel like LSU is a pretty good matchup for State. Like if your argument is just like, oh, they need one win in the tournament, I feel like LSU is a pretty good draw.
100%. And looking at the box score for that, they got a little bit, they got double digits out of Keyshawn Murphy and Tolu Smith. Josh Hubbard carried in that game. He had 32 points, was 6 for 12 from 3-point range. They went on the road and beat an LSU team that, you know, as Ole Miss could probably tell you, is very pesky and can really get to a lot of teams if they're not careful. They went on the road and beat them there, and now they'll be taking them on a neutral site, which, you know, a couple of things that weren't in their favor then are in their favor now, or could be in their favor now, because now they've got them on a neutral court. Now they could get a little bit more out of the rest of the roster, and I think that they have learned a lot from that game, which I think even Chris Jans will tell you they could have done a little bit better. So there's definitely some confidence going into that game. But it's, again, it's kind of one of those things where you don't want that confidence to overtake focus, because, once again, if they lose this game, this gets more complicated than anybody in or around Starkville wants it to be.
Yeah, I mean, it is sort of a two-sided thing where if you're just sitting there like, okay, we just need like one win in the tournament, like LSU is pretty good for that situation. Out of all the teams in the SEC, you know, they didn't draw another one of those teams in the SEC middle class that's also trying to get a tournament bid,
mm-hmm.
right? So we'll see how that breaks out. But, I mean, also having a big win against LSU earlier in the year should help things.
Yeah, definitely. I believe that was actually their last win.
Potentially. Yeah, no, it indeed was 87-67 on February 24th. So if you're looking to snap the skid, maybe that's a good place to start.
It is, but again, got to be able to focus for that one.
So just in general, what all are you watching for this week?
Just in the SEC tournament, I am interested to see how, regardless of whether or not how far they're able to go, I'm interested to see how each team finishes. If you're Ole Miss, what kind of performance are you able to put up in a tournament where the opportunity is still there to make the tournament, but the margin for error doesn't exist? And in Mississippi State's case, are you able to focus on LSU, a team that you have to beat in order to get in, but a team that if you do beat, you're pretty sure bet to go straight into the round of 64? And if they are able to win that game, how do they play against a team like Tennessee, and possibly from then on, how do they play against others? Because, you know, you don't want to think too far ahead if you're Mississippi State, but if you do beat LSU and you get the chance to play Tennessee, that's a team you could face in the second round of the tournament if you get that far.
Yeah, looking at State's sort of resume, you know, it's a little interesting because, I mean, they have a losing record in, like, their record in Quad 1 and Quad 2 games combined is below 500.
Mm-hmm.
4-8 against Quad 1 opponents, 2-3 against Quad 2. So 6-11 in those two.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like for State, it's really important that they get some important wins this week. You know, I mean, problem is if you beat LSU, you get Tennessee.
Yeah, very true. But it's a Tennessee team that they can at the very least hang with. They beat them at home, and I know that this isn't going to be at the Coliseum. I know that this Tennessee team is more than likely a lot better than that team they faced, but they've shown that they can beat them, and I think if they are able to beat LSU, they could go into that Tennessee game with a healthy amount of confidence.
Well, also, neutral court is in a tournament like the SEC tournament is good for the resume, because you look at an opponent like LSU and you're like, eh. But I'm looking at Bartorvik, and you know, because they lay it out the quadrants nice and easy, so I don't have to do the
math.
Yes, and they list it as a Quad 2 game.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to compete in that would say a lot, even win or lose.
So it'll be an interesting weekend because you also sort of see I'm interested to see how the Ole Miss-Texas A&M game breaks down too.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes you go into a game like that where you've played twice already and it's where the home team usually wins, but in this case, the road team usually wins. In this case, the road team won in each of those meetings, so it'll be interesting to see. And again, Ole Miss, I do think there is a sense of confidence where it's like, okay, we have beaten these guys. We do know what it takes. That last one, we could either – well, it'll be interesting to see how they handle that one too, but – I think Ole Miss can compete against Texas A&M depending on which team shows up.
Well, I just meant strictly from a sort of bracketology standpoint because, you know, A&M is another one of those teams that's on the bubble trying to get in. So, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting with, you know, kind of two SEC teams that are kind of in that middle grouping, you know, start in the second round type deal. But I just think they're in similar situations.
Right. Just you're excited. You're eager to see the urgency from both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. With that loss to South Carolina to end the regular season, I'm not surprised. You just have to stop running into close game merchants.
Yeah, very true.
Because once again, I'm going to bring up luck in this podcast because it's apparently the only thing I know how to talk about when it comes to college basketball. I wrote a whole story on this.
I mean, if there's any time to talk about luck, it's a week before St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh, good point. But South Carolina is now fourth in the country in luck, so stop getting into close games with close game margins.
First in the SEC, I imagine.
Yeah. Nice. Tarleton State, Central Michigan, and San Diego are the only teams in front of them.
Oh, okay.
But right behind South Carolina is Stetson, who just booked their spot in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I heard they, yeah, good for them.
It's the good old A-Sun.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Those were the big things. Should be an interesting Thursday.
There is no such thing as a boring week in March, right?
No, especially not when those games are. No, never mind. I thought it was a different day. Never mind.
But, yeah, As per usual, you know, you can follow us on Twitter at bferrell727 for me, and then for James at jsmurphymedia. You can find all of our coverage at djournal.com and follow us on social at djournalsports. And if you want more of our Ole Miss or Mississippi State coverage, feel free to check out our lineup of newsletters at djournal.com/newsletters. And if you want to join the conversation with other fans, feel free to check out our Mississippi State Sports Discussion or Ole Miss Sports Discussion groups on Facebook. James, thanks again for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Brendan.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening, and have a good one.